I want to draw your attention to a terrible statistic. 1 in 6 women in the U.S. will be a victim of rape or attempted rape in her lifetime. A Now investigation has found that in tens of thousands of cases around the country, evidence from rape investigations is never tested for DNA. Now, senior correspondent is Maria Hinojosa.
The streets of Los Angeles are familiar ones to Michelle C., who grew up in Southern California. Back in 2001, she was a student at UCLA, just about to start her senior year.
I was 21. I was in college, trying to figure out what I wanted to be when I grew up, and I was just having fun with my friends.
Driving home late one night, she noticed a car following closely behind hers. The driver was motioning for her to stop.
I had just gotten my car out of the shop, so I had assumed that there was something wrong with my car, and he just kept motioning at me with such urgency to pull over. So I did, just to see what was wrong. And when I did that, he forced his way into my vehicle. And over the next hour, he sexually assaulted me and eventually raped me.
Finally, the rapist left her and drove off. Michelle, still in shock, went straight to the police. They drove her to this rape treatment center where Michelle agreed to have forensic evidence collected from her body.
I had to remove all of my clothing and have them take the DNA that they needed to from the necessary parts of my body. Yeah, it doesn't leave you with much dignity.
The biological samples taken from Michelle were packaged together into what's known as a rape evidence kit.
These are all parts of a rape kit or an evidence collection kit.
At the rape treatment center, a nurse practitioner checks for any biological evidence left behind by the rapist. Scanning the victim's body with an ultraviolet light, she can pick up semen or saliva. She also photographs any bruises or injuries. Fingernail scrapings, urine, and blood samples each go into separate sterile envelopes. It's an intimate and invasive process that can take up to 4 hours.
I wasn't allowed to go to the restroom until I had the rape kit done. I couldn't shower, wash my hands or anything. I could still smell him on me, and I just had to wait.
And yet, in your head, you were saying to yourself
that it needed to be done. And that this is just what I needed to go through to be able to come anywhere close to putting him in a place where he wouldn't be able to do this to anyone else.
Michelle's rape kit was then turned over to the Los Angeles Police Department. Full of potential evidence, these rape kits are supposed to be the first step in the road to justice for many victims.
They go home trying to put their lives together and survive, thinking that LAPD or other police departments are analyzing, you know, rushing to the lab to analyze that evidence, to go right back out on the streets and try and catch this person. That's so not the case. It's so not the case.
When this story first aired in April, Laura Chick was the city controller for Los Angeles and the main watchdog for the city. Last fall, her office made news when it audited the LAPD and found that thousands of rape kits collected by police had never been tested for DNA.
We had thousands of rape DNA kits sitting on shelves in freezer lockers, unanalyzed. It just was astounding to me.
Hey, this is Freezer 6.
This is where the LAPD stores all of its crime scene evidence, going back decades.
Dates back to 1964.
It's 5 degrees Fahrenheit in these freezers, and the LAPD has 7 more like this one, each the size of a tractor trailer. There are cases of sexual assault, robbery, and homicide.
These are rolled up carpets that had people in them at one time.
And it was here that the auditors found the thousands of unopened, untested rape kits.
Those are human beings. Those are lives stacked up on the shelves, waiting for justice to arrive. Those are human beings.
I have to wonder every day when a victim comes through our doors, did that person have to be raped? Could her rape have been prevented if those kits in the storage had been opened?
Gail Abarbanel has devoted more than 30 years of her life to victims of sexual assault. She runs the largest and one of the most respected rape treatment centers in California at the UCLA Medical Center.
We see an average of 2 or 3 new victims a day.
A day?
A day. And that's just in one part of the Los Angeles community. People have no idea how prevalent this crime is and how many victims there are.
The center prides itself on the care they give to victims of sexual assault.
They consent to these forensic exams where we're taking evidence from their body. It's such an intimate, personal process, and it's such a commitment to the criminal justice system. So not to use that evidence is another betrayal of a rape victim.
And because rapists often strike more than once, there is a risk to the larger public as well.
Police Administration Building.
Detective Tim Marsha runs the Cold Case Homicide Unit at the LAPD.
Robbery Homicide, Marsha speaking, okay.
He knows just how important it is that rape kits be tested right away. 9 years ago, he was called in to investigate the rape of a 43-year-old legal secretary in her home as her son slept in the next room.
And a suspect had broken into her house, ransacked her residence, and then sexually assaulted her.
Detective Marsha knew that the best way to identify the unknown attacker was through DNA, so he wanted to get the rape kit tested immediately. But the lab told him it could take more than a year.
My biggest concern was that he was a repeat offender, that he was going to strike again.
So he called in a favor and drove the rape kit himself 6 hours away to a state lab.
I checked it out of our property division and put it in my car, jumped in the car, and drove it up to Northern California.
Still, it took months before it was tested. And then Detective Marsha discovered what he had feared the most. The rapist had attacked again.
During the period that I was in the holding pattern waiting for my evidence to be tested, he had sexually assaulted 2 more women.
The same attacker broke into this house and sexually assaulted another woman whose child was asleep in the next room, and broke into this house where he raped a 16-year-old girl.
When I found that out, I was very disappointed in myself because I kind of relooked at some of the things that I did and I questioned, was there anything else I could have done? And very frustrated with the department.
We came here to the LAPD crime lab to find out exactly how rape kits are analyzed for evidence.
This is a typical sexual assault evidence kit.
While it may look simple on TV shows like CSI, in reality, extracting DNA from crime scene evidence is time-consuming and expensive. Testing can only be done by forensic scientists known as criminalists and takes hours, if not days.
Hopefully, we're releasing sperm cells from the cotton swab into the water.
Swabs that were carefully taken at the clinic from the victim's body are examined for trace evidence. So are items of clothing. Here, a miniskirt is checked for DNA evidence. If DNA is detected, a lab instrument analyzes it to produce a unique genetic profile. That profile is then uploaded into the state database as well as the national database called CODIS, run by the FBI. The hope is that DNA evidence collected from a rape victim will match a profile in the database. When that happens, it's known as a cold hit. That's how Detective Marsha's case was solved. The DNA from the unknown rapist matched this man, Christopher Cardwell, a career criminal who at the time was incarcerated in Texas for a burglary. Cardwell was convicted of 15 counts of sexual assault and is now serving a sentence of 580 years to life. This story brings up a much larger problem. Crime labs around the country have a huge backlog of evidence from all types of crimes. That pushed Congress to act. In 2004, it passed legislation to help law enforcement agencies eliminate their DNA testing backlogs. Since then, nearly half a billion dollars has been funneled to state and local crime labs. The Los Angeles Police Department received $4 million of that money, but it managed the program so poorly, the federal government cut the grant by $500,000 last year.
The LAPD lost $500,000 that could have been used to test rape kits because?
It was sloppiness. It was lack of prioritization. I can't give a good excuse for government to mess up and lose $500,000. It's unforgivable, and it shouldn't happen.
Charlie Beck is the chief of detectives at the LAPD.
This entire issue has landed on your lap.
Yes, or my head.
After Laura Chick's audit came out last fall, he was brought in to handle the fallout.
How can it be that you're actually receiving federal money, but you're not spending it in a timely fashion?
Well, you're asking me about something that happened a year and a half ago when I had nothing, well, little to do with this process. So I can't give you the answer to that question. But I can tell you now that we are spending every dollar that we can get our hands on to test our backlog.
When Deputy Chief Beck took charge in October, he immediately ordered an investigation of the untested rape kits in the freezers. And indeed, it turned out that by the LAPD's own count, there were more than 4,000 kits that had never been analyzed.
Analyzing this evidence and going after solving these crimes was not a top priority for LAPD.
I've been a police officer for over 30 years. I've talked to thousands of rape victims. This is a very serious business to me.
How do you explain that the LAPD had thousands of unopened, untested rape kits sitting on the shelves?
Criminalists are very expensive. There's not very many of them. They are what is required to test rape kits. And if you don't have enough criminalists or enough funding to outsource to criminalists, then your rape kit backlog will increase.
But can you understand, Chief, when people will say, we would like answers about why it didn't happen when it should have?
You know, sometime back in the distant past, there was a fingerprint backlog because there was new technology. As things change, then we have to adapt. And if we haven't been quick enough to adapt, then, you know, shame on us. However, once you identify a problem, you move forward. And that's very much what I'm doing.
But this is not the first time the LAPD has come under fire for mishandling rape kit evidence. Back in 2002, the Los Angeles Times broke the story that the LAPD had destroyed 1,100 sexual assault kits, mistakenly believing they had exceeded the statute of limitations.
Just destroyed. Whoops, by mistake. 1,100 kits thrown out because LAPD thought that they were out of statute.
Do you think that there is a different standard when it comes to justice for women who are victims of crime, specifically rape?
What we've uncovered is that we still have a ways to go before women are treated equally as victims and the crimes against women are taken as seriously as other violent crimes.
And for some of those victims, it really may be too late. In order to bring a rape case to trial in California, it must happen within 10 years. But some of those untested kits had been sitting on the shelf so long they had passed the statute of limitations.
These rape kits will never be used in court.
That's correct. We do have cases that are lost forever. I mean, our audit found 100 and some odd cases that had gone out of statute.
But Chief Beck hopes to salvage some of these cases, because some of them involve multiple crimes, which extends the statute of limitations.
We're going to take every one of those cases and go through them.
But it still means that there are some women out there, victims, who are thinking that you're still going to search out and find the perpetrator and prosecute, when in fact the LAPD doesn't have the legal means to do that because these cases have expired.
That's possible.
In fact, it turns out to be true. When we followed up with Deputy Chief Beck, he told us that at least 67 cases have expired.
Most rape victims have no idea that these kits aren't being opened. They're never notified. In California, we have a law that requires, in certain circumstances, that rape victims be notified if their kits aren't opened. I've never known one victim who's received notification.
Abarbanel worries that news of the testing backlog will only discourage rape victims from coming forward in what is already an underreported crime. But there is good news. Even when tested after a delay of years, DNA evidence can help solve cases where other leads have gone cold.
I have a probable cause arrest warrant for a guy by the name of Eric Guerrero Ibarra. He's a male Hispanic, and he's about 5'9", 220 pounds.
Detective Al Contreras of the LAPD Sex Crimes Unit has been tracking an unsolved rape and kidnapping that happened 14 years ago. Now, he and his team are preparing to make an arrest after getting a cold hit. It's a DNA match between a man on probation for drug possession and the unsolved rape.
Yeah, 1453 to Adam 12. We just got a call that the suspect is already at the location now with the probation officer. So,
Contreras and his team are on their way to apprehend the suspect.
This will get your adrenaline pumping. Knowing that your suspect is at a specific place, you know he's already there.
The plan is to make a surprise arrest at a courthouse where the suspect is scheduled to meet his probation officer. As the unit closes in on him, our cameras are not allowed inside.
You're Eric Ibarra? I've got an arrest warrant for you. You just need to stay seated there and put your hands behind your back.
Minutes later, Detective Contreras walks a handcuffed Eric Guerrero Ibarra out a side door. Charged with kidnapping and rape, he's now in custody and awaiting a court date.
It's gratifying to see that DNA is playing a very important part in a lot of these cases. We get a DNA match on the person, and we're able to close and solve that crime.
This case is what police call a stranger rape, where the attacker and the victim don't know each other. In stranger rape cases, which make up a quarter of reported rapes, DNA may be the only way to find the assailant. But the LAPD's investigation found that 400 kits from stranger rapes sat untested on storage shelves, never making it to the lab.
When you think about the fact that 10% of your backlog, 402 kits, were stranger rape cases and that they were not tested immediately.
I am not only unhappy with the fact that they existed, but I am saddened by the potential that these crimes went unanswered.
How did that happen?
Well, we're looking into that now. And all those have been outsourced for testing or tested in-house since I discovered that.
Since news of the thousands of unanalyzed rape kits came out, the Los Angeles mayor and city council have committed nearly $6 million to clear up the backlog. Chief Beck promises to make it happen on his watch and says he's already sent 2,000 kits to an outside lab. Advocates say these are important developments because even in cases where the identity of the rapist isn't in question, like acquaintance rapes, DNA testing can reveal connections between seemingly random attacks.
If you open all of the rape kits, including acquaintance rape kits, you would see the pattern, the MO of the acquaintance rapist, and you would see multiple crimes committed by that offender, and it would really help in the prosecution of this crime.
10 years ago, New York City decided to analyze every one of its 16,000 untested rape kits. It took 4 years, but it gave police nearly 2,000 cold hits. Arrests for reported rapes almost doubled, and the New York Police Department says today it has virtually no backlog. The LAPD says it's now following New York's lead and testing every kit.
I think that the LAPD is an example of a large city police department that's dealing with this problem. Now, there are a number of other large city police departments that aren't dealing with the problem yet. Everybody will.
You don't have to look too far to find evidence of that. The LAPD shares the job of law enforcement in Los Angeles County with the Sheriff's Department. And all the publicity over the backlog at the police department now has the Sheriff's Office under the microscope.
How many rape kits do you have at Central Storage?
Off the top of our heads, we could not tell you. Right.
When the Sheriff's Department finally counted, they found nearly 5,000 kits in storage. 300 of them were past the statute of limitations. Like the LAPD, the plan going forward is to test every kit. So just how big a problem is this in other cities? Researchers at Now on PBS called major crime labs in more than a dozen states this past April when the story first aired. In Houston, we found nearly 4,000 untested rape kits. In Philadelphia, 446. In the state of Illinois, 622. And Missouri calculates about 450. Some agencies in Miami-Dade and Washington, D.C., simply refuse to answer our questions. While no one keeps statistics on the total backlog of rape kits nationwide, estimates are in the tens of thousands. But one kit that was tested belonged to rape survivor Michelle C. She's been able to move on, she says, because her case was solved. The LAPD tracked down the rapist and arrested him.
Tell me why the rape kit in your case was so important to convicting the perpetrator.
It gave a no-question link between the perpetrator and I.
Michelle is convinced it was the hard evidence from her rape kit that put her attacker behind bars for 15 years. But Michelle's case is not typical. Only one in four reported rapes in Los Angeles ever result in an arrest, much less a conviction.
What do you think you would be feeling now if your rape kit had never been tested?
I think I'd be a very, very different person. Never knowing, you know, is he going to show up at my doorstep one day? I would constantly be living in fear.
Do you want women who see you talking about this, who know what you went through, not only as a victim, but then giving your rape kit, going to trial, when they look at you, you want them to see what?
That there's hope. When I first came into the police station, after the detective had interviewed me, he said, you know, when he gets out of jail, you will be married, you will have moved on with your life, and you're going to be happy. And I remember sitting there thinking, you know, I couldn't even begin to comprehend that. But I want women to see that there is hope.
Hope, perhaps, for victims in Los Angeles. But what about the thousands of victims around the country whose rape kits have yet to be opened?
These are people. You know, these are crimes that have been committed against them. And it's long overdue that someone started finally paying attention to the fact that these are honest-to-goodness victims.
One of the survivors of rape, Michelle, talks further with Maria Hinojosa. That's on our website, along with a list of resources for victims of assault who are looking for help. PBS.org is the place to start. Connect to Now online at PBS.org. Learn more about the issues facing women and men in the 21st century by visiting our Life Now page, where you'll find more investigations, information, and insight that matter to you. Connect to Now at PBS.org. On the next edition of Now, gridlock on the roads and the rails. America's aging transportation infrastructure cannot keep up with demand and the needs to expand. But who's going to pay to carry the freight?
Improving our transportation, reducing congestion, improving the mobility of people and goods in our society has to be our goal, and we have to show how we're going to deliver that.
And that's it for now. From New York, I'm David Brancaccio. We'll see you next week.